Okay.
So we're finally into knots, and I'm going to follow a handout today, and here it is, and here it is also on the screen. Before talking about knots, there is one important leftover from braids, something that I forgot to say last time, and that I want to say now. So, if you remember, this whole quadratic approximation was a functor. So, if you have a map between groups, you get a map between their quadratic approximations, or between their projectivizations, or associated graded, or whichever way you want to call it. In particular, there is the U into W map. Let's call it A, right? Every U tangle, every U braid is in particular a W braid. This induces a map alpha going from core diagrams for U to core diagrams for W, to what was called arrow diagrams. And then you can ask, do you get a commutative square of expansions? Can you get a commutative square of expansions, of homomorphic expansions? Okay? And sort of this would be yet another good, potential good behavior of this, of our expansions. Unfortunately, the answer is no, you cannot get such a well-behaved expansion. So let me briefly tell you why. So I guess, first of all, you have to figure out what the map alpha is. So alpha would be a map from AU into AW, and AU is the space of chord diagrams, so you have horizontal chords which are undirected, and modulus sum relations, and AW is the same thing except with arrow diagrams and modulus some different collection of relations, and alpha would be a map going from here to here. And I guess first thing is I have to tell you what it is. So I claim that it's the map which maps a chord to the sum of the two ways of orienting it. Okay? So, and if you have four chords like here, then the map will involve 2^4, namely 16 terms. Okay? So why is it so? I guess I will not do the general case, but only explain very briefly why is it true in the case of one chord. So in the case of one chord roughly represents, so I mean, I'm being a bit rough here because, well, it roughly represents an overcrossing minus an undercrossing. So I'm being a bit rough here because I'm not being careful about the purity of the braid here, and I'm not being careful about, well, I mean, a chord is not that. A chord is this modulo higher order terms, okay? So I'm just being a tiny bit rough, and you can complete the details if you want. Anyway, the map alpha maps any braid to itself, just regarding into a into another space. So alpha does nothing to this difference, except if I want to write it in terms of arrows, I have to write it in terms of a crossing minus a virtual crossing, rather than a crossing minus another crossing, because the arrow stands for a crossing minus a virtual crossing. So to do this, I'll just add and subtract the virtual crossing. So this will be an overcrossing minus a virtual crossing plus a virtual crossing minus an undercrossing. Okay? Now, this at the same level of roughness corresponds to an arrow going from the upper strand to the lower strand with a sign corresponding to the sign of the crossing. The sign of the crossing here is positive, so this will be a plus. This, well, if you flip it, it will be under minus virtual. So this corresponds to negative of, so now the arrow goes from strand number 2 to strand number 1, going this way, except it's a negative crossing, so the arrow comes with a minus here. And then at some point we've shown that arrows with minus, meaning things that correspond to the inverses of generators, are equal modulo higher order terms to the negative of the same thing with where the minus is replaced by a plus. So this is this plus this, both marked with a positive sign. And remember that our convention is to drop the sign when it's positive. So hence it's exactly what I've said. Okay? Stephen, this will be a good time to take a picture. Anyway, sorry for my computer screen on the way. So now, is there an expansion that respects alpha? And sorry. So, I guess already in the already in the case where n is equal to 2, there is no such expansion. So there are if you want to view it in the world of impure braids, so the diagram here was written for pure braids, but it makes sense for impure braids just as well. Anyway, if you want to view it in the world of impure braids, then just take the overcrossing, okay? It will have to go to some combination of arrow diagrams, I guess with a twist at the end, but it will have to go to some combination, sorry, of core diagrams. As a W braid, it is itself, so it's still this. And this, our expansion mapped to just a arrow diagrams in which all the arrows go to the right. Right? But if you apply alpha here, well, you'll have the occasional arrow going backwards, or rather, you'll have a sum, so a thing with three chords will become a sum of 8 arrow diagrams in which the arrows go either left or right, and if you check the relations, there are no relations between them, so there is nothing to cancel anything. So this is simply not going to commute, okay? Well, if you want to do it in the pure case, it is infinitesimally harder. So in the pure case, I would have to start with a pure braid here, and a pure braid, well, I'll start with, I guess, this pure braid, and this pure braid will go to itself as a W braid, okay? As a W braid, this will go to, so the expansion for W braids will map this to an exponential of arrows going this way, and then followed by an exponential of arrows going the other way. The U invariant will have to map this into some sum of just chord diagrams, and again, it's a matter of, well, okay, the space A up 2, sorry, A W sub 2, namely for two strands, well, if you look at the relations, all the relations involve more than two strands. So there are actually no relations here. So this is just the free associative algebra generated by the right arrow and the left arrow. Okay? So nothing can cancel nothing else, and it's very easy to show that this arrow diagram is not in the image of alpha starting from just horizontal chord diagrams. Okay? So just be aware of that. So later we will see that while there is no such commutativity for braids, we will be able to fix it in the case of tangles. And in fact, sort of half of the interest in the Alexeyev-Torossian equations is about the commutativity of such squares in the case of tangles. But we're not there yet. Anyway, let me move on. So we're finally into knots. And the first thing to say about knots is that in some sense, I don't like knots. In some sense, they're the wrong objects to study in knot theory. And you know, in the paper I write it that we write that knots are like pastries, so they're kind of beautiful and look delicious, you know, if you learn how to cook, you first have to learn how to make dough. I don't know. Sorry, I too have accent. So they're not the basic ingredients. They're somehow the finished products. And what I mean to say is that if you stay within the theory of knots, then there are hardly any operations between knots. Okay? So, for example, there's no sense in which the set of all knots is a finitely generated set or a finitely presented algebraic set. Okay, I mean, there are a few operations between knots. There is the connect sum of knots. Maybe there are a couple of other operations, but they don't come close to making knot theory finitely presented. Whereas, if you work with braids, well, braids are a finitely presented group, or tangles are a finitely presented, well, circuit algebra, or you'll have to figure out which algebraic structure to put on tangles, but at the end, they will come out finitely presented. So knots are not nicely presented, and the fact that there are no interesting operations between them also means that there are no nicely defined algebraic subsets of the set of knots. So, you know, algebraic geometry is about studying varieties, and varieties are, well, you know, very naively, at least, subsets of Rn that are defined by algebraic equations. But you must have algebra in order to talk about subsets defined by algebraic equations. If there are no operations, you cannot talk about subsets. You cannot talk about interesting subsets. So all interesting knot properties are not algebraic from within the perspective of knots. but some of them are algebraic from within the perspective of tangles. So anyway, this said, still knots are the prettiest objects in knot theory, so I want to spend some time studying them, even though sort of the better stuff will come when we talk about tangles. Okay, so first of all, let me define it, or let me define the objects. So U knots, I think you all know, and I will not define them again. You know what, maybe I will define U knots. So what are U knots? U knots are, so U or K up U or UK are the usual pictures modulo the usual three Rademeister moves. So this is equal to that, this is equal to that, and the third Rademeister move. This is equal to that. And maybe I need to be a little more careful about orientations, but not right now. So in a similar way, I can define V knots and W knots. So V knots will be pictures like this one, in which there are crossings, like in the case of ordinary knots, and also virtual crossings, in the same way that we've added virtual crossings to braids. Modulo, now an extended collection of relations, and in fact it's the exact same collection of relations that we've imposed on braids. So in some sense there is nothing new. So the relations are the Rademeister 2 move, the Rademeister 3 move, as always, and then the virtual Rademeister 1 move, the virtual Rademeister 2 move, the virtual Rademeister 3 move. You've seen this before, I don't need to say anything more about them. The mixed move, or the detour move, which says that you can move virtual things across standard things. But you do not impose the overcrossings commute relation and the undercrossings commute relation, which look exactly like they do in the case of braids. Now, this is for V knots. For W knots, yes?
I presume that we apply the Rademeister 1 relation as well.
No, we do not. And I'll make a comment on that in a minute.
Okay.
So for W knots, we do impose the overcrossings commute relation, but we don't impose the undercrossings commute relation. Okay? So a few comments. Comment number one, I'm strictly speaking, what is shown here is a long V knot. So a long V knot is a tying of a long arc, which starts at the minus infinity and goes to plus infinity, as opposed to a tying of a circle. Okay? So really there are two V knot theories. There are two V knot theories. So I could be talking about virtual knottings or KV of a long line, or I could be talking about KV of a circle. Okay? So that's one distinction I could make, and here I'm talking about KV of a long line. Okay? Likewise for W. You know what? Why don't I right away talk about the two warnings? So in the U case, we have that KU of a long line is equivalent to KU of a circle. Okay? And the reason is, the map going from here to here is, well, if you have a long knot, you can turn it into a circular knot by closing it. So this map is obvious. Okay? The map going the other way, well, if you have a circular knot and you want to turn it into a long knot, you have to choose a point and call it infinity. So you have to choose some point and cut it open over there and call it infinity. So, you know, rather than cutting open and calling and rather than cutting it open, let me just mark a point and call it infinity. Okay? Now, what you have to show is that the resulting long knot is independent of the point where you've cut, which amounts to saying that you could move infinity to from here to here, say. You could move it from one place to another. Okay? But, and indeed you can, and the way you do it is by taking this, so rather than moving the point infinity under that strand, you take this strand and you move it over the whole knot all the way around until it's back on the other side of infinity. Okay? So that's why there is a map here and it is well defined. But that map is not, so this map from K, V, or W of a circle back to K, V, or W of a line is not well defined. And the reason is that, well, again, here the trick was to pass this strand over everything else that you see and back to the other side of the point infinity. But you cannot pass something over a virtual crossing. Okay? So in the V case, you will not be able to do that. In the U case, you'll have trouble with passing stuff under. Yes?
So you showed that the round knots and long knots are the same. So is it automatic when we take the projection to the diagrams? Those two are the same as well?
I'm not sure what you mean core diagrams?
No, sorry, I mean like knot diagrams. So these are knots in three space, but if we consider knot diagrams, so modulo the Riemannstrom moves.
Yeah, well, I mean, moving this strand so that it will be on the other side of the point infinity, you can achieve it by a sequence of Riemannstrom moves.
Okay?
So, well, it will require a tiny bit of combinatorics if you wanted to do it totally formally.
Okay.
But yes, it's a completely, it's a statement which makes sense with no reference to topology, just as a statement about diagrams. Okay? And it's false when you talk about virtual knots, for the reason I just mentioned. Okay? Likewise, so Stephen, that would be a good time for a picture. Likewise, KU of a long knot, or sorry, of a line, so in other words, long knots form an abelian monoid. So previously I said that there are no algebraic operations on knots. Well, this is the exception. It's the one algebraic operation that does exist, and there is only that much that you can do with it. Okay? But anyway, so they form an abelian monoid. Namely, if you have one long knot and then another long knot, you can, so this is a monoid, you can compose them by just connecting their ends. Okay. But in the U case, this is in fact abelian. And the reason it is abelian is because you could take, say, the second component, shrink it until it's tiny. It's tiny, 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 tiny. And then you let it slide along the other component, the other component, until it comes out on the other side, and then you expand it again. Okay? And hence it's abelian. Okay? Now, K, V, or W of a long line is again a monoid by using the same operation, okay? But it's not abelian. But not abelian. And the reason is, the reason is, strictly speaking, the reason is to show examples, okay? But the reason the proof fails is, if you shrink this to nothing and you try to slide it here, you'll have to pass this whole component over or under strands here. And if there is a virtual crossing inside this component, you cannot do it. Okay? So, in fact, it seems to me, I never really thought about it, but in fact, it seems to me that we've just proven that the image of KU inside KV is central, right? Because I could move an ordinary strand, an ordinary knot, even through a virtual one. So the image of KU inside KV is central, but okay.